This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام على المبعوث رحمة العالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد. اليوم 14 من شهر ربيع الثاني 1442 الموافق ل 30 من شهر نوفمبر 2020. نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك الداء والدواء. سأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفي مؤلفه وأن يوفقنا للعمل بما نتعلمه وأن يغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في عليين. Today inshallah we will try our best to complete this chapter and move on to the next matter inshallah. We are still dealing with the issue of the khawf, which is one of the pillars of ibadah, and after that we will move on to the next matter bi idhnillah ta'ala. So يقول المؤلف رحمه الله وفي صحيح البخاري من حديث أبي هريرة عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من كانت عنده لأخيه مظلمة من مال أو عرض فليأته فليستحلها منه قبل أن يؤخذ وليس عنده دينار ولا درهم. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in this hadith of Abu Hurairah, which is authentic, found in Sahih al-Bukhari, man kanat indahu li akhihi madlamat min malin aw irdin, whoever has any right, you know, or obligation on his shoulder for his Muslim brother, or oppression, he oppressed him, he goes against him, qala min malin aw irdin, whether this happened to be a wealth or honor, you know, you talk about him, you backbited him. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if there is anything that you owe your Muslim brother, whether it is wealth or you talk about his honor and dignity, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, fal yati. So that means you borrowed money from another person. For instance, and he do not pay, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said you should go to him and pay it immediately. You took the money that belongs to others, you should pay it immediately. Or you took his house, his property, his car, whatever, no matter how much small it is. And here comes the importance of the debt, you know, to be written. When you borrow money from another person, you should write it down. Take note on that. Otherwise, a day will come, which is the day of judgment, and there will be no dirham, and there will be no dinar to be paid. So, if you happen to take something that belongs to others, you should return it back. The same goes to when you talk against them. You backbite at them. You talk behind them. You curse them. You say bad words about them. Any other things that you did, which is not good, you know, against your Muslim brother, which destroys his honor and dignity. You know, so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَلْيَأْتِهِ, you should go to him and settle the case. فَلْيَسْتَحِلَّهَا مِنْهُ, you should go and ask him to permit you, to forgive you, to pardon you, you know, to overlook, you know, to just cancel that thing, you know, in this life. If it is something to be paid, pay it back to him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, قَبْلَ أَن يُؤْخَذَ, before the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take you back to him, وَلَيْسَ عِنْدَهُ دِينَارٌ وَلَا dirham. And at that moment, you don't have dinar and you don't have dirham. In some narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, قَبْلَ أَن لَا يَكُونَ دِينَارٌ وَلَا dirham. Before you reach the time where there is no dinar and there is no dirham. إِنَّمَا هِيَ حَسَنَاتٌ وَسَيَّعَةٌ. So in this regard, as I always mention, the best hadith to tackle this matter of saying words about your Muslim brothers and sisters in their back is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليصمت. Whoever believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the hereafter, he should say good or keep quiet. If he doesn't have any good to say, he should keep silence. That's the best way for a Muslim to save himself from this tragedy that is facing him in the hereafter. So you should settle the case here before the day comes which there is no dirham, there is no dinar. فَإِنْ كَانَتْ لَوْ حَسَنَاتٌ. So إِنَّمَا هِيَ حَسَنَاتٌ وَسَيِّئَاتٌ. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to deal with people with hasanat and sayyat. No money, no ringgit, no dollars, no riyal, you know, nothing. So what works is just the hasanat and sayyat. So فَإِنْ كَانَتْ لَوْ حَسَنَاتٌ أُخِذَ مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ فَأُوْطِيَهَا هَذَا. If that person has hasanat, good deed and righteousness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take from the hasanat and pay the debt he owe others. And the question we should always ask ourselves is that how much you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to take from your righteous deed to pay a ringgit that you have taken from another person? You have no idea. You know, one ringgit he took from others and he did not pay it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might take thousands of deed, millions of deed from your account and pay that one ringgit. We don't decide, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides. And how much you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to take from your righteous deed to pay a simple word that you said against your Muslim brother or sister? You don't know, you have no idea and you have no clue. So as such, it's really necessary for a person to be very careful. These are situations which you don't know exactly what will happen, you know. You might wake up and see all your deed have been taken to be given to others in front of your eyes and you have nothing to say. You can't say anything. فَإِنْ كَانَتْ لَوْ حَسَنَاتٌ أُخِذَ مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ فَأُوْطِيَهَا هَذَا. If he has righteous deed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take from them and pay what he owe others. وإلا أخذ من سيئات هذا فطرحت عليه ثم طرح في النار. Or else, if he doesn't have any hasanat to pay the debt, Allah will take from the evil doings of others. You know, those people whom he oppressed, those people whom he took the right from, Allah will take from their sayyat, from their evil deeds, and pay, and cast on him as a payment of their right. So you can see, this is really what bankruptcy is all about. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talks about bankruptcy in this way. He said the bankrupt person is a person who will come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with abundance of deed. You know, he has a lot, but unfortunately he cursed this. He took the wealth of this. He accused this. He backbited this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take from his reward and put on them and give it to them. And if he doesn't have any more reward to pay the debt he owe others, Allah will take from their sins and put on him. And then at the end of the day, if Allah did not forgive him, he will find himself in hell. وفي الصحيح من حديث أبي هريرة عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من أخذ شبرا من الأرض بغير حقه خصب به يوم القيامة إلى سبع عرضين. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whoever takes shibran, this size, you know, one span of hand, if you take it from the earth, you know, from the land of somebody that doesn't belong to you, you know, you took it from somebody else's land, خصب به يوم القيامة إلى سبع عرضين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to cause him to sink, you know, from that place he has taken, he will get deep down until the earth number seven. And that's why it said, whoever owns the earth owns that which is under it. The same goes to the sama of the land you own. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever took the land that belongs to another person, on the day of judgment, طُوِقَهُ مِنْ سَبْعِ أَرْضِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take it from seven earth and put it on his head. He's going to be carrying the whole thing. So Allah salamu wa ta'ala, this are all emphasizing on the prohibition of oppression. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala harrama al-dhulma ala nafsihi faqala ya ibadi fala tadh-dhalim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made oppression prohibited upon himself, and he asked us and commanded us not to oppress others in whatever we're doing. وفي الصحيحين عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ناركم هذه التي يوقد بنو آدم جزء واحد من سبعين جزءا من نار جهنم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said ناركم هذه, the fire that you use, which you boil and you cook things with it. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said it is stronger than the fire narukum hadhihi, the fire that you use it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it's just a portion, you know, a portion of the fire in Jahannam. And what is the percentage of this portion? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said min sab'ina juzan. If you want to know the temperature of hell, you should see the fire we have here in this dunya, and you multiply it by 70, then you come up with the temperature, the degree you have in hell. وَلِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ قَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهِ إِنْ كَانَتْ لَكَافِيَةً. They said, Ya Rasulullah, wallahi, this fire that we have here is more than enough, you know, to disturb a person. قَالَ فَإِنَّهَا فُضِّلَتْ عَلَيْهَا بِتِسْعَةٍ وَسِتِّينَ جُزْءًا كُلُّهَا مِثْلُ حَرِّهَا. He says, Allah's matter favored the hell, you know, to be stronger, to be hotter, you know. How many times? This atin was 16. 69 times. 69 times. So you want to come up with the temperature in hell, then you multiply the temperature you have in this fire that we use to cook, you know, and the fire that we see in this life, 70 times. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Salaam wa ta'ala. So all of these are showing to everyone that nobody can stand hell. Nobody can stand hell. So patience is needed, my dear brothers and sisters. Patience is needed. وفي المسند عن معاذ قال أوصاني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال لا تشرك بالله وإن قتلت أو حرقت. He says رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم advised me and commanded me not to associate partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَ وَإِن قُتِلْتَ أَوْ حُرِّكْتَ. Even if you are to be killed or to be burned, do not go against your tawheed. Even if you know that they're going to kill, they're going to burn, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't go out of Islam. Don't commit shirk at all. وَلَا تَعُقَّنَّ وَالِدَيْكَ. So that's the most important right to be preserved, the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the tawheed. So he says, لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ شَيْئًا. Don't you ever associate, partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any sense. وَإِنْ قُتِلْتَ أَوْ حَرِّكْتَ. Even if they killed you or they burned you, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, preserve your tawheed. وَلَا تَعُقَّنَّ وَالِدَيْكَ. And don't you ever go against your parent. عُقُوقُ الْوَالِدَيْنِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't you ever go against your parent. وَإِنْ أَمَرَكَ أَن تَخْرُجَ عَنْ أَهْلِكَ وَمَالِكَ. Even if they ask you to go away from, to stay away from your family and to stay away from your wealth, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't you ever go against them. That's ta'at al-walidain. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهِ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us not to worship anyone except him, and also to be kind to the parent. So shirk is prohibited in all of his forms, and this is the first right a Muslim should be preserving, and the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are to preserve any other right and you neglected this, you will be in trouble. You will be in trouble. So the second right after the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the parent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in many places he put his right first, because it is first, and then the right of the parent. So he says, وَلَا تَعُقَّنَّ وَالِدَيْكَ وَإِنْ أَمَرَكَ أَنْ تَخْرُجَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ وَمَالِكَ. Even if they ask you to go away from your wealth and to go away from your family, do it. So these are dunya matters. When it comes to the dunya matters, no saying no to the parent. You cannot say no to them. Don't say no and don't reject what they want. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that one of the best way for us to make a success in this life is pleasing the parents. قَالَ وَإِنْ أَمَرَكَ أَنْ تَخْرُجَ عَنْ أَهَلِكَ وَمَالِكَ. Even if they ask you to stay away from your family, you stay away from them. So that's why if you are about to marry and then your parents don't like that marriage, it's better for you to look for other alternative. You know, we have a lot of male in this life. If your parent doesn't like this one, it's better to look for somebody else who is also good. Your parent doesn't like the sister you want to marry, look for somebody else. Because if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised you to stay away from your family after the marriage because of the interest of the parent, he said you should do it. What if they don't want you to marry at the first place, that person? But this one is restricted. You know, we have to understand that it is not supposed to be done anyhow. Whenever the parent wants to cut off the marriage of a child, just tell him to go away. No, it doesn't go like this. There has to be justification for that. In the book we have studied before this, he says, كَتَطْلِيكِ زَوْجَاتٍ بِرَأْيٍ كَتَطْلَى بِعِلْمٍ لَا يَضُرُّهُمَا بِهِ وَتَطْلِيكِ زَوْجَاتٍ بِرَأْيٍ مُجَرَّدٍ. He says, not every time when your parents ask you to do things, you do. In general, you have to obey. But there are circumstances when they ask you and you apologize to them. For instance, your father asks you to divorce your wife. And this wife is so good, you know. She is so good, really good. And she has no problem. In the religion, she has no problem. In the manners, and she gives you your right, you know. And she lives with everyone peacefully. But they just don't like her. For what? For no reason. You know, we have certain characters like this. They just don't like. And they think since they are the parents, they can do whatever they want. They forgot Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. And what they're doing is oppression and injustice. So, if they ask a person to stay away from a righteous woman, he shouldn't do. Somebody told Imam Ahmad and say to him, Sheikh, my father asked me to divorce my wife. And she's okay. What should I do? He said, don't divorce her. He said, but what should I do with the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he advised Abdullah ibn Umar to stay away from his wife when Umar told him to stay away from her? Imam Ahmad told him, yes, you are right. If your father is similar to Umar, then you have to divorce. And for sure he knows that his father is not similar to Umar radiallahu anhu. Because Umar will never ask his son to divorce his wife based on following the desire. It has to be some religious reason, you know. Those companions were very dedicated and sincere in whatever they do, and they know what justice and injustice mean. So that's why the scholar said it is not necessary to obey your parent if they ask you to do something which is wrong in this regard, when it comes to the staying with your wife or going away from your wife. If she is okay and she has no problem and she doesn't misbehave, you know, towards them, she respects the parent, the person is not supposed to stay away from his wife just because his parent commanded him. He should stay with his wife and try to convince the parent and try to cool them down. And try to cool them down. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. He says, لَا يَذُرُّكْ وَكَتَتْ لَا بِعَلْمِ لَا يَذُرُّهُمَا بِهِ. And they told him not to seek knowledge. They just don't want him to learn. He can learn in secret. You know, no need to tell them he's learning. He can learn in secret. If that doesn't necessarily necessitate him going out of the city. If it is necessary for him to go out of the city to get the knowledge, then we look at that knowledge. What type of knowledge is that? If it is knowledge that he has to know, you know, these are the basics, these are the pillars, you know, he must know what must be known by a Muslim, you know, for his deen to be accepted. Issues of Iman and Tawheed and right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his parent told him not to learn that, they don't like it. This one he has to learn. Even if he happened to go out to fix his religion, he has to go. Because these are the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the right of Allah supersede the right of humankind. Because we are brought to this life to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to worship Allah. So whenever there is a contradiction between what Allah wants and what somebody else wants, you have to go to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. قال ولا تعقن والديك وإن أمرك أن تخرج عن دنياك عن أهلك ومالك. Even if they ask you to go against your wealth, you know, they want some of your wealth, they ask you to give it to somebody else, pass it to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will replace it for you bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. قال ولا تتركن صلاة مكتوبة متعمدا. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, don't you ever stay away from an obligatory prayer. It's really dangerous for a person to miss a prayer. فإن من ترك صلاة مكتوبة متعمدا فقد برئت منه ذمة الله. إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. It says, because whoever stays away from one faridah, one wajib, intentionally, فَقَدْ بَرِئَتْ مِنْهُ ذِمَّةُ اللَّهِ. You know, the dhimma of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the protection of Allah, I mean, there is no relationship, no connection between him and Allah. Allah will cut off every connection between him and that person. Subhanallah. So they're very important. They're very important to pray them on time, in the way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prescribed. قَالَ وَلَا تَشْرَبَنَّ خَمْرًا. And don't you ever drink wine. فَإِنَّهُ رَأْسُ كُلِّ فَاحِشَ. Because it is the origin and the root of every fahisha. We talk about some of this last class. It is the root of fawahish. It leads to so many fahisha. وَإِيَّاكَ وَالْمَعْصِيَةَ فَإِنَّ الْمَعْصِيَةَ تُحِلُّ سَخَطَ اللَّهِ يَعْنِي عَلَّبْتُ. He said, and I warn you from going against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because committing sin invites the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a person. So this hadith is authentic, insha'Allah. And you can see it is very important. It is very important. And this is the nature of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Talk about the right of Allah, the right of the parent, and also a person shouldn't neglect and shouldn't miss a single prayer amongst the wajibat. And a person shouldn't drink wine. And lastly, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said you should try as much as you can and stay away from ma'asi. يقول ابن القيم رحمه الله والأحاديث في هذا الباب أضعاف وأضعاف ما ذكرنا. Ibn al-Qayyim says, Ahadith, the nusus of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that address this matter, they are much more than what we have mentioned. فلا ينبغي لمن نصح نفسه أن يتعامى عنها. It is inappropriate for somebody who wants good for himself, you know, to be blind, you know, not to understand this hadith. It is really inappropriate for somebody to miss this hadith. وَيُرْسِلِ نَفْسَهُ فِي الْمَعَاسِ. And as such, he will engage in commission of the sins. وَيَتَعَلَّقُ بِحَبْلِ الرَّجَاءِ وَحُسْنَ الظَّنِّ. And he will be sinning. He will be sinning day and night, holding upon what? The rope of a hope, while neglecting the rope of the fear. So this is very dangerous and very wrong for a person to be like this. Saying that I have husn al-dhan billahi azza wa jalla, Allah will not punish. Al-Hasan al-Basri says, if you have husn al-dhan billahi azza wa jalla, you will definitely engage in righteousness. The righteous people, they have husn al-dhan in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's why they increase their righteousness. وقال أبو الوفاء ابن عقيل احذره ولا تغتر به فإنه قطع اليد في 33 دراهم. أبو الوفاء ابن عقيل said احذره, he said beware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and don't you ever be deceived by his mercy, you know, because there is another side also that you have to be thinking about. فإنه قطع اليد في 33 دراهم, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cut off the hand because of 3 dirham that somebody took without permission. So somebody stole 3 dirham and he lost his hand completely from that. وَجَلَدَ الْحَدَّ فِي مِثْلِ رَأْسِ الْإِبَرَةِ مِنَ الْخَبْرِ. Somebody take a drop of wine and put it in the water and drunk. And the case reached the authority. What are you going to do? What are they going to do? They are going to punish him. The had, 40 or 80 lashes. But how much did he drink of wine? Just a drop of wine. قَالَ وَقَدْ دَخَلَتْ امْرَأَةٌ النَّارَ فِي هِرَّةٍ. And a sister went to hell because of a cat. You know, she kept a cat in a place where there is no food, and she did not release the cat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished her because of that cat. قَالَ وَاشْتَعَلَتِ الشَّمْلَةُ نَارًا عَلَى مَنْ غَلَّهَا وَقَدْ قُتِلَ شَهِيدًا. And the grave of somebody who took a piece of cloth, you know, after the battle, before the distribution of the booties, that piece of cloth became fire for him in the grave. وَقَدْ مَاتَ فِي الظَّاهِرِ شَهِيدًا. And what we see is that this person died as a shaheed, because he died during the battle with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that's why Abu al-Wafa says, you shouldn't be deceived by the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful. Yes, he is. But at the same time also, he is the greatest when it comes to the punishment. وقال الإمام أحمد حدثنا أبو معاوية قال حدثنا العامش عن سليمان بن ميسرة عن طارق بن شهاب يرفعه قال دخل رجل الجنة في ذباب ودخل رجل النار في ذباب قالوا وكيف ذلك يا رسول الله قال مر رجلان على قوم لهم صنم لا يجوزه أحد حتى يقرب له شيئا فقالوا لأحدهما قرب فقال ليس عندي شيء قالوا له قرب ولو ذبابا فقرب ذبابا فخلوا سبيله فدخل النار وقالوا للآخر قرب فقال ما كنت لأقرب لأحد شيئا دون الله عز وجل فضربوا عنقه فدخل الجنة. وهذه الكلمة الواحدة يتكلم بها العبد يهوي بها في النار أبعد ما بين المشرق والمغرب. Yes, just a few seconds. Rahman Rahim. Salman ibn Maysara reported the hadith from Tariq ibn Shihab, which they attributed the hadith to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But this hadith, if you attribute it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the narration will be weak. But the most authentic one is the one that says the hadith is mawquf. موقوفٌ على الصحابي وليس على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. موقوف means سلمان الفارسي was the one who was narrating the story, not رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. So what did he say? سلمان الفارسي said دخل رجل الجنة في ذباب. Somebody went, a man was taken to paradise because of a fly. ودخل آخر رجل آخر النار في ذباب. And another person went to hell because of a fly. قالوا وكيف ذلك. So somebody asked him, how is that possible? How did that happen? قال مر رجلان على قوم لهم صنم. Two brothers, they were passing, so they passed through a group of people who are worshipping an idol. لا يجوز أحد حتى يقرب له شيء. They have strong, what you call, security. in a way you cannot cross. If you come toward that place, you cannot cross and pass the idol without sacrificing something. You have to give something for the sake of the idol. فَقَالُوا لِيَحَدِهِمَا قَرِّبْ قَالَ لَيْسَ إِنْدِي شَوْنُ قَرِّبُهُ So they told one of them, the first one, give something. He said, I don't have anything to give. قَالُوا قَرِّبْ وَلَوْ ذُبَابًا They said, give something, even if it is a fly. فَقَرَّبَ ذُبَابًا So he take a fly, kill the fly, and then put it for the idol. فَخَلُّوا سَبِيلَهُ Let him go. فَدَخَلَ النَّارِ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him to hell because of that. وَقَالُوا لِلْآخَرِ And they said to the other one, قَرِّبْ Give. You also do like your brother. فَقَالَ مَا كُنْتُ لِأُقَرِّبَ لِأَحَدٍ شَيْئًا دُونَ اللَّهِ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ عَزُّ وَجَلَ So he said, I will never sacrifice something for the sake of somebody other than Allah. فَضَرَبُ عُنُقَهُ فَدَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ So they cut off his head. You know, فَدَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ He went to paradise because of this. قَالَ سَلْمَانُ الْفَارِسِ وَهَذِهِ الْكَلِمَةُ الْوَاحِدَةِ يَتَكَلَّمُ بِهَا الْعَبْدُ يَهْوِي بِهَا فِي النَّارِ أَبْعَدَ مَا بَيْنِ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ He said, this is how it is. That a person has to be very careful in what he says. Because you might be saying a word, you know, which is going to invite the anger and the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on you. And a person will go to hell because of that. أَبْعَدَ مَا بَيْنَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ They go to the place in hell farther than the distance between the Mashriq and the Maghrib, the West and the East. Subhanallah. So that's why I always mention that to cut the story short concerning this matter, get the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam all the time and put it into practice and action. مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ Whoever believes in Allah and the hereafter, let him keep quiet if he doesn't have something good to say. You should say good or keep silence. Very simple method given to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but at the same time very effective. Okay, so say good or keep quiet. قَالَ وَرُبَّمَا اتَّكَلَ بَعْضُ الْمُقْتَرِّينَ عَلَى مَا يَرَى مِنَ النِّعَمِ مِنْ نِعَمِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَأَنَّهُ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِهِ وَيَظُنُّ ذَلِكَ أَنَّهُ مِنْ مَحَبَّةِ اللَّهِ لَهُ Ibn al-Qayyim says, Sometimes you might find a person who is deceiving himself, you know. Why did he deceive himself? Because of what he has seen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him. So he got so many blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he started thinking that, that is out of love. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving him because he loves him. Not knowing that, no, that was a test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-A'raf, he says, حَتَّى عَفَوْا وَقَالُوا قَدْ مَسَّ أَبَاءَنَا الضَّرَّاءُ وَالسَّرَّاءُ فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ فَقُطِعَ دَابِرُ الْقَوْمِ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about those people who deceive themselves by that which they see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granting them. They thought everything is okay and they're still doing the sins. Allah says, we give them. You know, and this is what he does. This is what we call istidraj that we're going to be talking about. Allah says, until the time, you know, subhanAllah, they have a lot from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they started saying that, this poverty and this hardship, we don't even know what people are talking about because we did not experience it. It used to be with the previous nation, but not us, you know. So they started thinking that, you know, everything is okay, you know. Not knowing that this is istidraj, Allah says, أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً We get them in the place, in the way they never expected. فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ فَقُطِعَ دَابِرُ الْقَوْمِ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ SubhanAllah, definitely وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ Allah says, we cut off the root, you know, of those people who are oppressors, who oppress themselves and oppress others. Allah says, Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. To have an oppressor being taken by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed from the community, people enjoying good life, this is really something that necessitates, you know, tahmid. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So don't you ever be deceived by what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted you, as long as you're not doing the right thing. If you're not doing the right thing, a person should be very, very careful. So he says, وَيَذُنُ أَنَّ ذَلِكَ مِن مَحَبَّةِ اللَّهِ. So a person might be given wealth, might be given ni'mah by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will think that this is from the love of Allah. This is a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves him. وَأَنَّهُ يُعْطِيهِ فِي الْآخِرَةِ أَفْضَلَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. And what is waiting for him in the akhirah is better than this. You know, there are some people who are thinking like this. You know, Surah Al-Kahf, when you read about those two brothers, you know, the bad one says, وَمَا أَظُنُّ السَّاعَةَ قَائِمًا. You know, he has so much, you know, so much wealth. He says, وَمَا أَظُنُّ السَّاعَةَ قَائِمًا. I don't even believe that the Day of Judgment will happen. And if, in case, there is something called Day of Judgment, he says, وَلَئِنْ رُدِدْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي لَأَجِدَنَّ خَيْرًا مِنْهَا مُنْقَلَبًا. He said, if in case there is something called Day of Judgment, he said, I believe I'm going to be the best also. And the Day of Judgment also, I will receive the best. You can see the gurur, you know, he does what he does. He even rejects the Day of Judgment. And he's a very bad person. And he thinks even if there is something called Day of Judgment, he will also be one of the best on the Day of Judgment. So there are some people also in our time who are thinking in this way. Ibn al-Qayyim says, some people might be doing this. He said, this is what we call deception in this life. A Muslim shouldn't be in that. A human being must be very careful and understand this fact properly, that having blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't necessarily mean Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a person. قال الإمام أحمد حدثنا يحيى بن غيلان قال حدثنا رشدين بن سعد الحرملة ابن عمران التجيبي أنا عقبة بن مسلم أنا عقبة بن عامر عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا رأيت الله يعطي العبد من الدنيا على معاصيه مما يحب فإنما هو استدراج. In this hadith, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, when you see Allah سبحانه وتعالى granting a slave, you know, min ad-dunya, mayhib, you know, whatever he loves of dunya, he get it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. Wa huwa ala ma'asi, and this slave is still committing sin. He kept those bad attitudes and he doesn't repent, but still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. He said, fa'alam innama huwa istidraj. He should know that this is istidraj. What is istidraj? To give a person respite. To give him a respite, to repent. Do you get the idea? So that's what istidraj is all about. To give him muhla, you know. To let him, not to repent, I mean, to give him muhla until the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala planned to take him off. If he doesn't repent, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cut him off. So this is really scary, you know. Really scary. A person should monitor what he get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make sure that you are doing the right thing in this life. Make sure you're doing the right thing. Allah, you should make sure you're doing the right thing. Otherwise, the ni'mah you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving you might be what? Niqmah. Niqmah means punishment. You thought it is a blessing, but it is not. So we have to be realistic. You know, you have to be realistic. I believe if one of us is giving you a lot, and you're still behaving in the wrong way towards him, and he knows that, and you know he knows, you will have doubt. Maybe that is some. لله المثل الأعلى. The greatest example belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you shouldn't treat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this way. He gives you, and then you keep committing the sin, and you think everything is okay. That is khalal in the tafkir. That is khalal in tafkir. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَا ظَنُّكُمْ بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ أَلَا يَظُنُّ أُولَٰئِكَ أَنَّهُمْ مَبْعُوثُونَ. ثم تلا قوله تعالى فلما نسوا ما ذكروا به فتحنا عليهم أبواب كل شيء حتى إذا فرحوا بما أوتوا أخذناهم بغتة فإذا هم مبلسون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when these people نسوا ما ذكروا به, they forgot that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded them with. That's the ayah I have quoted in Surah Al-A'raf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when they forgot that which they have been reminded with. By who? By the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذِكْرُوا بِهِ أَنْجَيْنَا الْآيَةِ سُورَةِ الْأَنَامِ. I guess ليس سورة الْأَعْرَافِ. It says, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذَكِّرُوا بِهِ, when they forgot that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded them with, فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, we opened the doors of khayrat for them. You know, they get the rizq. Look at the Western community, you know, and any community which is based on disobedience against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them. They are the richest person. If in terms of richness, you know, the richest people, you know, on earth, you see them. And these are all tests, but unfortunately, they don't understand. So we get deceived sometimes, you know. Muslims are migrating, are leaving the Muslim territories and going to that thing, not for anything except for the sake of the dunya. Allah says in the last page of Surah Al-Imran, لَا يَغُرَنَّكَ تَقَلُّبُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي الْبِلَادِ, don't you ever be deceived by the blessings or the thing you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving and granting those non-believers. You know, they have a lot Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them. But he says, don't get deceived by that. مَتَاعٌ قَلِيلٌ ثُمَّ مَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمُ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it is just nothing except mata, qalil. You know, ثُمَّ مَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمُ, and then at the end of the day, they will be ended in hellfire. You know? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us not to be deceived by what we see Him giving the non-Muslims. You know? الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, those who disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person shouldn't be deceived. Because إِنَّمَا هَذِي الدُّنْيَا لَهُمْ, you know, وَالْآخِرَةَ لَنَا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Umar, أَمَا تَرْضَى أَن تَكُونَ الدُّنْيَا لَهُمْ وَلَنَا الْآخِرَةَ, that you, aren't you happy that they have the dunya and we have the akhirah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell them on the day of judgment, أَذْهَبْتُمْ طَيِّبَاتِكُمْ فِي حَيَاتِكُمْ الدُّنْيَا, you have already forfeited your blessings, you know, your ni'mah here in this dunya, and in akhirah you don't have anything. وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. So they will enjoy a little, but on the day of judgment they will suffer a lot. Allah says, ثُمَّ مَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمُ, and then at the end of the day they will be taken to hell. So Allah says here, لَا يَغُرَنَّ, he says here, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited this ayah, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذَكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا, they started being happy, you know, they were so happy, you know, بِمَا أُوتُوا, they think, actually, in Surah Al-Araf, Allah says they started saying, قَدْ مَسَّ آبَاءَنَا الضَّرَّاءُ وَالسَّرَّاءُ, you know, that we heard that our foreparents, you know, the previous nation, you know, they used to live in the state of poverty, but not us, you know, we do have everything. What does that mean? You're talking about poverty, you know. We heard about it. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees them suddenly, you know, just like that, without them being expected. And you know, punishment, my dear brothers and sisters, punishment when it comes from the way a person is not expecting, is harsh. It's harsher than when it comes to the place where somebody is suspecting. Anyway, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to punish a person, whether you expect or you don't expect, it's too painful. Nobody can bear it. But what if this punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is coming from an unexpected angle? Those ones, they were in their places. You know, they're suffering from the temperature in the environment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show them clouds coming from out of the city, you know. Dark clouds with a very nice wind, you know, very comfortable. They thought this is a blessing coming to replace what they are in of the high temperature. Why did they do it? They rushed to that place, you know. They rushed to that place. Why did they go to that place? They're expecting ni'mah to come. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down fire from that place where they expect the ni'mah to come. Fire came and get them. That's why in Surah Al-A'raf, after this reminder, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and this one I really want us to really, 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 really pay attention to, this ayat. He says, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَكِنْ كَذَّبُوا فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لو أن أهل القرى had the people of the city, because this is the conclusion, ta'qib Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making, after narrating to us the story of Nuh, followed by the story of Hud, followed by the story of Saleh, followed by the story of Shu'aib, followed by the story of Lut, and then the story of the Shu'aib, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this excellent, excellent conclusion for everyone to understand before he start talking about one of the biggest story, which until the end of the surah, we enjoy learning from that story, which is the story of Musa alayhi salam. Allah made a conclusion first. In that conclusion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk about the meaning of this ayah in Surah Al-An'am, something similar to it. And then he said, the people of the city, they were supposed to believe. Had they believed in that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Prophet with to them, لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَكِنْ كَذَّبُوا فَأَخْذْنَاهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Allah says, if they were patient and they accepted the Prophet, they have the Iman, and they put it into practice and action and maintain their istiqamah, Allah says, لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala call it barakah, because it's not about how much you get. It's about how much contentment you have in your heart. It's about the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that little or a lot that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you a lot, but he removed the barakah, Wallahi, you will never succeed. You will live a very difficult life in a state of hardship. So Allah called it barakah from the heavens. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened barakah from the heaven to pour on us. Wal ard, and also the earth is going to be fertile. Very easy for us to grow something or whatever we want to grow on it. And then we will succeed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, walakin kadhabu. But unfortunately, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they did not. They deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we caught them, bagtatan, we seized them completely. Bagtatan means sudden. Okay. Without them expecting us to visit them at that moment. Because he gave them so much money, he gave them so much richness. They were built up, they built up the country. They built up the system. They think, khalas, they're the strongest and they're the greatest and nothing can affect them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we get them all. And then he sent this message to each and every one of us. He said, أَفَأَمِنَ أَهْلِ الْقُرَىٰ أَنْ يَأْتِيَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا بَيَاتًا وَهُمْ نَائِمُونَ أَوَأَمِنَ أَهْلِ الْقُرَىٰ أَنْ يَأْتِيَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا ضُحًا وَهُمْ يَلَعَبُونَ أَفَأَمِنُوا مَكْرَ اللَّهِ فَلَا يَأْمَنُوا مَكْرَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do people of the city agree أَنْ يَأْتِيَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا بَيَاتًا وَهُمْ نَائِمُونَ. At night, you sleep, you are just waiting for the morning to come so that you can begin a new, fresh day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, would you agree that my wrath, my punishment to visit you at the moment where you are sleeping, just wake up and find yourself in another dimension. SubhanAllah. Imagine life like this. You just wake up and find yourself dead. And just woke up in the grave. So Allah salamu ta'ala. Wallahi. Imagine this, my brothers and sisters. You just sleep peacefully and then wake up and find yourself in the grave. Obvious situation. So this is a reminder from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, أَوَأَمِنْ أَهْلِ الْقُرَىٰ أَنْ يَأْتِيَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا ضُحًا وَهُمْ يَلْعَبُونَ. Or our punishment will visit them in the time of the duha, the early morning. Early morning you are very fresh. You have so many ambitions. You want to visit this, you want to meet this one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we will visit those people, we might visit them. They have to be very careful. We might visit them at that moment. People might be expecting the punishment to come later, but not in the morning. In the morning, you have all your plans. You're thinking of nothing except how to execute your plan. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take up the life at that moment. There are some people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take them off, right after Fajr. SubhanAllah. Who expect the punishment to come in that way? Right after Fajr. That's why he says, أَفَأَمِنُوا مَكَرَ اللَّهِ فَلَا يَأْمَنُوا مَكَرَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. How is it possible for a person to agree with the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? with the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the makr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Except a loser, somebody who lost his aql, will be happy to be visited by this punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that page of Surah Al-Araf is really, really interesting, and the Quran is all about this interesting fact that a person needs to succeed in this life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا وَجَدْنَا لِأَكْثَرِهِمْ مِنْ عَهْدٍ وَإِنْ وَجَدْنَا أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَفَاسِقُونَ. He said, we couldn't find the vast majority of the previous nation to be holding upon the pact and the treaty between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in fact, most of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they were fasiqi, they were wrongdoers. Even today, the vast majority of people are going in the wrong direction. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a good and success in life. So he says, أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَإِذَاهُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ. They will be in a state of despair because Allah will cut the root of the blessings, and some of them Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sweep them. That's why he called himself in some places, he said, وَهُوَ شَدِيدُ الْمِحَالِ. شَدِيدُ الْمِحَالِ means remove, he erased, he sweep the people. They خلاص don't exist anymore. SubhanAllah. Can you ever imagine a punishment like this? You know, they used to exist, but now none of them exist. He swept them completely. That's Shadidul Mihal. When he punished, he erased the people from existence, they will be part of the history. And he says, وَلَا خَفَ أُقُبَى. And he says, I don't care. SubhanAllah. He said, I don't care. Why would he care? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of everything. He's afraid of what? Nothing. Nothing. So we really need to be very, very careful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to truth. وَقَالَ بَعْضُ السَّلَفِ إِذَا رَأَيْتَ اللَّهَ يُتَابِعُ عَلَيْكَ نِعَمَهُ وَأَنْتَ مُقِيمٌ عَلَى مَعَاصِيهِ فَأَحْذَرْهُ فَإِنَّمَا هُوَ اسْتِدْرَاجٌ يَسْتَدْرِجُكَ بِهِ. وَقَدْ قَالَ تَعَالَى وَلَوْلَا أَنْ يَكُونَ النَّاسُ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً لَجَعَلْنَا لِمَنْ يَكْفُرُ بِالرَّحْمَنِ لِبُيُوتِهِمْ سُقُفًا إِلَى آخِرِهِ. Some of the Salaf al-Saleh says, whenever you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you a lot, whatever you want, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give. So many blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and at the same time you are still committing sin. He said you should know that this is istidraj from Allah. He's just giving you respite to the time which he decreed that you're going to be taken after that moment. A'udhu billah. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْلَا أَنْ يَكُونَ النَّاسُ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا. If not because of the fear that people are going to be one nation in kufr, Allah says we will increase that which we give the non-believers. Even this one is moderately given to them so that Muslim will remain in his iman. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says we're going to grant them the following. What is that? He says that we will give them, those people who are disbelieving in Ar-Rahman, we will give them houses, castles, you know, suqufan min fiddatin wa ma'arij alayha yadhharun. You know, the roof of the house is silver. SubhanAllah. The roof of the house is made from silver. And the ma'arij, the stairs also is from silver. You know, they used it to go up, you know, they have levels in their houses, and they also made it with the jewelry. وَلِبُيُوتِهِمْ أَبْوَابًا وَسُرُورًا عَلَيْهَا يَتَّكِئُونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them abwab, doors, and sururan, you know, the beds, they are also in jewelries, and the doors also made by jewelries, gold and silver, and all of those, you know, وَزُخْرُفًا, an abundance of pleasures, you know, and this illusion of this life, jewelry and so many fancy and good things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them in the way the aql of human being cannot even comprehend how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is granting these ones. Allah did not do that. Although He can do it, He did not do it because many Muslims might be deceived by this. Those people who have been witnessed in their iman, they might be deceived by this. How come? They disbelieve and they get more than us, and then somebody might join them. Allah said, وَإِنْ كُلُّ ذَلِكَ لَمَّا مَتَعُوا الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah says, all of these are nothing except the pleasure and the shallow things of this dunya, but you should know that the akhirah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only for the good ones, for the believers, for the pious people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among them. So it's not about dunya, it's about how much you have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's about building that good and excellent life, the life of the hereafter, which is the more lasting one, the one that will never end. Allah says, بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. وَقَدْ رَدَّ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى عَلَى مَنْ يَظُنُّ أَنَّ هَذَا الظَّنَّ بِقَوْلِهِ فَأَمَّا الْإِنسَانُ إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَعَمَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمًا وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ فَقَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَهَانًا كَلَّا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He refuted those people who are having this thought that just because you have blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that means you are very close to Him. Being blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the ni'mah in this life, giving you the richness, giving you the money, giving you the cars, giving you the houses, it doesn't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you. It is a test. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Fajr. He says, you see a human being, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested him, you know, فَأَكْرَمَهُ, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored him, وَنَعَمَهُ, and He gave him ni'mah, فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمًا. He will say, yes, I am honored and I am beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَهُ فَقَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَهَانًا. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests him with otherwise, you know, he doesn't have the richness, difficulties and hardship and poverty, he will say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala humiliated me and disrespected me. Allah says, كَلَّا. Allah says, no, it is not like that. أي ليس كل نعمة نعمته ووسعت عليه رزقه أكون قد أكرمته. Allah says, not, it's not like that. Not every blessing, every ni'mah that I send to a person means ikram, mean honoring from my side. He said, it's not like that. SubhanAllah, this explanation is really beautiful. You know, how many times you read this ayah and have this thinking, you know, and thinking this way. وَلَا كُلُّ مَنِ ابْتَلَيْتُهُ وَضَيَّقْتُ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقَهُ أَكُونُ قَدْ أَهَنْتُهُ. And not every person that I put in a state of difficulty, that means that I am neglecting the person or disrespecting him or humiliating him. He said, it's not like that. بَلْ أَبْتَلِي هَذَا بِالنِّعَمِ وَأُكْرِمُ هَذَا بِالْإِبْتِلَى. SubhanAllah. Allah says, I test this one with the ni'mah, and I test this one with what? I test this one with the ibtila, with the test. I honor him with the test. Look at the way Ibn al-Qayyim put it. I honor the other person with the test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does like that. Sometimes you might combine both the love and the rizq and the ni'mah, you know. Sulaiman alayhi salam was so rich, you know, and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. Abu Bakr, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were very rich, some of them, you know. And we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them paradise, that means He loves them. In which He said they will never go to hell at all. And nobody can get this except somebody who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. So let's understand this fact. Getting test doesn't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is humiliating you or Allah is neglecting you. No. If you're patient and you're righteous, test for you is a sign of love from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. وفي جامع الترمذي عنه رضي الله عنه إن الله يعطي الدنيا من يحب ومن لا يحب ولا يعطي الإيمان إلا من يحب. In الترمذي, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted dunya whomsoever He wishes. This one, this hadith is weak if we attribute it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but it is authentic if you attribute it to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. So we take it as a statement of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. He says, Allah give dunya مَنْ يُحِبْ, whoever He loves. وَمَنْ لَا يُحِبْ, and the one that Allah doesn't love, but He gives them dunya. Dunya is given to anyone. That's why Muslim get kafir, get fasiq, get wrongdoer, get everyone get the dunya. وَلَا يُوْطَ الْإِيمَانَ إِلَّا مَنْ يُحِبْ. Sheikh Nasir said, this is authentic to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, but you can know that, as you know that these type of statements cannot be said based on opinion. He must, have gotten it from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah give dunya to anyone, but He doesn't give iman except to somebody whom he loves. وَقَالَ بَعْضُ السَّلَفِ رُبَّ مُسْتَدْرَجٍ بِنِعْمِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَهُوَ لَا يَعْلَمْ وَرُبَّ مَغْرُورٍ بِسَتْرِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَهُوَ لَا يَعْلَمْ. Some of the Salaf Salih said you know, perhaps you might find a person who is given this respite by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the ni'mah. Allah has given him ni'm. Let him get deep inside. You know, he forgot. And he doesn't know that this is istidraj by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He thought this is the sign of love, but in reality it is not. وَرُبَّ مَغْرُورٍ. Sometimes you might have a person who deceives himself بِسَتْرِ اللَّهِ, because Allah conceals his affairs. People don't know what he's doing in secret of ma'asi and going against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this person doesn't know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing this, you know, and this is against him, it's not for him, this is against him. A day will come, Allah called this day يَوْمَ تُبَلَ السَّرَعِ, a day in which the secret is going to be revealed. وَرُبَّ مَفْتُولٍ بِثَنَاءِ النَّاسِ عَلَيْهِ. And sometimes you find a person, you know, subhanAllah, he is tested by what? The praises of the people. People praise him a lot. Oh, he is this, he is that. But this person will be deceived by this. He thinks everything is okay. And he doesn't know that this is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whatever comes to you, you know, you see the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, show thanks and appreciate. How to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Increase your righteousness. Be honest, be sincere to Allah. Be good more than the way you are. That's the attitude of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And when you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concealing your affairs, people don't know what you're doing. You know, try fix it. Come back very quickly. This is a very dangerous situation, you know. Come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as quickly as possible. You know, very quickly, on the spot. You know, وَرُبَّ مَفْتُولٍ. Whenever you see people are praising you, people are talking to you in a nice way, you're good, you're this and that, you hear this a lot, don't you ever be deceived by this. Wallahi, don't you ever be deceived by this. Make sure that your side with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is okay. If your side with Allah is not okay, the praises of the people will never benefit you. You know, it will take you to the lowest level in hell. It might do that, you know. It might take a person to hell. So, because you are the wrongdoer, but people don't know that, and they're praising you in the wrong way, you know. That's why Abu Bakr used to say when they praise him, Allahumma la ta'akhidhni bima yaqulun, waghfir li ma la ya'lamun, waj'alni khayran mimma yadhunnun. He used to say that when people praise him, Ya Allah, do not hold me accountable of what they say. Waj'alni khayran mimma yadhunnun, and make me better than what they're expecting me to be. Waghfir li ma la ya'lamun, and Allah forgive what they don't know. That's a good approach, you know. Although it's good to have a praise from the people, you know, when you're doing good to the community and people are praising you, because the Prophet ﷺ said, this is a sign of people of Jannah. As long as they're good and they're doing things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said there are those people who are praised by others, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let them hear the praises. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. So this is the end of this chapter of the khawf. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, in the next chapter, Ibn al-Qayyim will be talking about Ahlul Ightirar, the balance of those people who are deceiving themselves. And then we will talk about the difference between Husn al-Dhan wal-Ghurur, good expectation and deception. Okay, that will be the topic in the future. And then we will come to the Raja itself, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum. I stop here, inshallah, Abdurrahman. If there is any question, please do send it.
Is by Abu Bakr. Sheikh, saying inshallah is a Muslim's practice. Is it necessary to say or type inshallah while talking or chatting with non-Muslims? Or if one says it in the heart, it suffices?
If you say it with the tongue, even if you don't type it, it's okay. It suffices, inshallah. But let's say when you send a letter to a non-Muslim, if it is, these are messages, tell them, inshallah, let them know about Allah. Maybe one of them will ask you, who is Allah that you're talking about? You know. Yes, Abdurrahman.
Another question, Abu Bakr. For the du'as which are mentioned in the ayat of the Quran, like, Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli, can we recite these du'as in the sujood?
Any du'a, as long as you are making it in as du'a, no, not the Quran. You are just saying it as dua, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's okay. What is wrong is to recite Quran in the sujood. Yeah, we don't do that. We don't recite Quran in the sujood. We don't recite Quran in the ruku'. But if somebody quoted the dua, which is in the Quran, then no problem with that. So just make the dua, then quote the whole ayah, but just restrict yourself to the dua. So, inshallah.
Question by
Sister
Money. Salaam alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Pertaining to the concept of fear, Sheikh, you mentioned when death is approaching, we should have more hope than fear. And during the lifetime, we should have fear more than hope.
Sister Murni, we should maintain the balance between the hope and the fear. Should be equal, the balance, the hope and the fear. But if you are, when the person reached death, this is when you depend on the hope more than the fear. You get it? It's not that during the lifetime you go with the fear. No, you go with both. Even during the death time, you go with both, but you depend more on the hope when you are about to die. But during the lifetime, you maintain the balance, the hope and the fear, inshallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَلَا لَا يَمُوتَنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ إِلَّا هُوَ يَحْسَنُ الظَّنَّ بِرَبِّهِ. Nobody should die except with good expectation about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
How about when we narrate this to young children? Do we ask them to be more hopeful rather than being in state of fear?
You have just trained them to remain with both. Talk about the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a lot, and have some times and tell them also there is something else according to their understanding. Okay, talk. Don't let them just understand one. No, train them to remember both. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam trained the children with both, the hope and the fear at the same time.
Should we take more questions or should we stop?
You have more questions? Okay, ask. I will stop you, inshallah, when I have to leave.
Question by Rashid. Assalamu alaikum,
Sheikh. Okay.
How could a person deal with the grief and sorrow facing the news of brutal killings of Muslim brothers and sisters, especially from his own country? What should be advised?
Come again?
How should a person deal with the grief and sorrow of facing the news or coming across the news of brutal killings of Muslim brothers and sisters, especially from his own country?
Wallahi, nothing, Rashid, except dua. And I know what you're referring to, but nothing except dua. That part of the Muslim nation has been targeted for so long, you know, by the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, looking at the fact that Islam reached the place through them. The aim is to destabilize the people. Otherwise, what kind of jihad are they talking about? You know, and they focus on the Muslims, and even the Muslims who are not related to the government, because they go to the villages and find those poor people who are nothing, you know, they have nothing except to go to their farms and look for the rizq and kill them, in addition to how many people they kill in the masajid. So all of these things, you can know that this is not from the Muslims, you know, it's from somebody else. And I guess whoever is in that place know what is going on. So this is fitna that has been brought for almost 10 years. You know, people have been suffering in that place. Only Allah knows how many people lost their life. So your job is the dua, because what else you can do? You know, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the first thing is dua. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help, you know, the Muslims to see the end of this atrocity and tragedy against them. And apart from that, also da'wah, to enlighten people about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because people also need to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a lot. You know, people of the community to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because if you look at some of the attitudes and the manners of the people, and you don't know, you know, how do we, what kind of lack of shyness we have to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but still we don't lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Rashid, what you should do is to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly to remove that, and to protect the Muslim country, any Muslim country wherever Muslims are, may Allah protect them and their territories, and grant them peace and aman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring good.
Question by Rayhana. Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. Regarding listening to parents, is it true if one, if our parents don't like some person, we also prohibit to do nice things to them so we don't hurt our parents?
Is it the last part of the question? She said, well, is it true?
Is it true if our parents don't like some person, we are also prohibited to do nice things to them so we don't hurt our parents?
No. That might be personal things between them, which the parent might be wrong. So you don't do it in the presence of the parent, do it in secret. You know, don't get harsh to somebody who you don't know. Why are you getting harsh to them? That's the attitude of the jahiliyyah. I'm angry with anyone who my father or my mother or my friends are angry with him. No, you have to verify and check, because maybe they are angry with him for no reason. Do you get the idea? And this is not your battle. Do you get it? Sometimes parents ask their children to cut off their relationship with some other relatives. We don't do that. That's haram for the parent to do that. And the child is not supposed to obey them in this. He's supposed to go and visit the other relative, even if he doesn't do it in public, but he's supposed to visit them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good.
Question back. Ahsan. Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh.
Assalam.
How about the hadith that tells about the rewards of reaching the masjid before the khutbah? Can you please explain it?
It is in the same way you say it. You know, it's really good for us to go in these times mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As-sa'atu al-sadisa, as-sa'atu al-ula, as-sa'atu al-thaniya. You know, he categorized the time before the Jummah. These are periods of time. It's not just an hour. No, periods of time before the Jummah. So if a person is to go, and there is a big difference of opinion among the scholars, this time begins from what time? Many scholars said it begins from Dhuhr time, the early beginning of the time. Some said, no, it begins from the time for the Jummah. It begins from the time of the Duha. Some scholars said it begins from the time of the Duha. So that's the controversy among the scholars. But the best is a person should try as much as he can to be early in the masjid before the arrival of the Imam. Okay, before the arrival of the Imam. When the Imam comes to the masjid, then the angels will close the books of record. They will not record anyone who came anymore. There are special angels who...
Is it periods or hours?
No?
Periods
it's
hours.
A period, it's not hours. It's a period, it's not hours. It's not like our 60 minutes like ours. No, it's a period. Although the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam call it sa'ah, but it's a period of time. As I said, scholars have a lot of differences among them, but the most important thing for a Muslim is to make sure that he goes to the masjid early before the arrival of the Imam, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. Okay, then, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, I was going to give you 3 more minutes, but then you are more generous than me. Okay, then, jazakumullahu khairan. See you, inshallah ta'ala, tomorrow with the Riyadh al-Salihin. بارك الله فيكم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته